summer, let's get grounded. Feel the ancient earth beneath our feet. Smell the rich soil after the rain. Sift the sand through our fingers. Connect ourselves to each other, to all of creation, and to the spirit of the living God who meets us in the dirt. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. If you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link, our weekly email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about life in this church and in the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground on the stage over here, and we've got lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. This is intergenerational worship, which means I'll try to make it a little shorter, and we expect lots of joyful noise. And Sunday school will start in September, and we'll be doing our back to school backpack blessing on September 7th. So September 7th, everybody bring your backpacks and your briefcases and whatever you haul around with you as we get ready for the beginning of another program year. We welcome the purple flag display on the lawn of FCC Natick. If you are on site today, you saw them when you were coming in. The purple flags mark the loss of people to the opioid epidemic in Massachusetts over the last year. One flag for every person. That's 1,557 flags. That's 500 less than last year, but still way too many. The flags are with us through September 6th before going on to Newton Wellesley Hospital and the Brigham. Immediately after worship, folks in person are invited to head out that door so that we can bless the flags together. This is one way we care for those impacted by addiction. And after the blessing, we have coffee and conversation on site, and the worship team might appreciate a little help dismantling our worship space this morning. Next Sunday, we move to the sanctuary. Worship is still at 9:30, but we move to the sanctuary, and Reverend Linda Michelle will be leading worship. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath. Okay, half of you are not breathing. Relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light." As Pam lights the candle and gets ready to lead us in the call to worship, I failed to welcome our guest musician this Sunday and next. Sim, we are so glad to have you with us. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, this says that I'm Pam. Good, because I also had to put on my name tag so I could get it straight. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, come as you are. Come as you are. Everybody hear me now? Okay, so you didn't hear the nonsense I said earlier, which is not a bad thing. So your response is, come as you are. Come, brothers and sisters and siblings.
Come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let's worship together.
Come as you are.
Our opening hymn is number 57, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. It's on the handout and also on the screen. You're invited to rise in body or in spirit. With a little bit of silence. May the quiet be an invitation to slow down. Breathe deeply. Be present here and now. Let us pray. God of the Rocky Mountain, the city park, the community garden, you take mere dust and turn it into beauty, community, life. May we dig deep roots into your love and know that we too are dirt, precious, holy dirt, fertile soil for the beloved community Jesus showed us when he taught us to pray, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dirt, earth, land, fences, borders, war. Too often people have fought over the very soil beneath our feet, determined to mark it as their own. God calls us another way, to peace. Peace with the earth, peace of the earth, peace on the earth. This morning, may we share peace with those gathered here and earthlings everywhere. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
Cindy's.
I know, which is good because I already clashed with my shirt. I did not plan accordingly. On Friday, we hosted the first Queer Joy event in town. This was a collaboration with Community and Natick is United and other groups for a celebration of the queer community. It was drag bingo, and I got to help the caller. This room was packed with community, with arts and crafts, with music, with food, with people being together. One of the people who walked in said, "I did not know there were this many queer people in Natick," feeling like they had a community. So thank you for hosting that. It did include the Rainbow Arch, and I said, "What are you gonna do with the arch after?" They asked me if I wanted it for Sunday. I said, "We sure did." So our scripture reading today is one of the very familiar parables of Jesus, the parable of the sower. This appears in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The parable is all about dirt, so it's a good one for wrapping up our summer series. It's a pretty familiar one, too. A sower, which is someone like a farmer or a gardener, is out planting seeds. And the seeds land in all different environments, rocks and thorns and hard-packed soil, until finally landing on some nice, rich soil where things can grow. But of course, this isn't just about sowers and seeds and soil. Parables are complex symbol stories, open to a wide variety of interpretation. So Pam and I will tell the parable together, getting right into the interpretation. Right before this passage begins, Jesus has been healing people left and right.
Wow. Here are these words from the gospel. Guiding hand here. Here are these words from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Soon afterward, Jesus went on through one town and village after another, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God.
So Jesus is on a mission. He's sharing good news about the kingdom of God, which is a complicated topic, but we'll think of it as the way the world will be when it is finally the way God made it to be, a place of justice, compassion, and peace. So what was that? The kingdom of God? Yes? The world, the way it will be, when it is finally the way God made it to be, a place of justice, compassion, and peace. Why don't we just say that last line together?
A place of justice, compassion, and peace.
So consider this foreshadowing. Whatever Jesus says in this passage will be good news and will tell us about the kingdom of God. This is going to be what kind of news?
Good news.
Amen.
The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who ministered to them out of their own resources.
So these verses aren't really part of the parable, but I couldn't resist including them. Jesus is traveling around with the 12 famous guys, but also a bunch of women. And the women are funding the trip. Funny how that passage never comes up in churches who say women shouldn't be in leadership. But I digress.
When a large crowd was gathering, as people were coming to him from town after town, Jesus said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow."
I wonder who the sower is. I wonder what the seeds are. I wonder what the soil is. I wonder what the good news of this parable is.
Jesus said, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell on a path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up."
Well, good news for the birds. But why would the sower throw seed on a path where people are walking? Is the sower supposed to be God? Is God a bad farmer? Maybe we are the sower, and Jesus warns us not to be wasteful.
Some seed fell on rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture.
So it sounds like it at least started out promising. The seeds at least started to grow, but they did not stand a chance trying to grow on rocks. So maybe we are the seeds. And sometimes we start out all energized about our faith and church and God, but then we just shrivel up at the first challenge.
Jesus went on. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it.
Why isn't anybody watering or weeding in this parable? I don't know what the thorns are, but I sure hope they aren't us, or God, for that matter. So wait a minute, paths and rocks and thorns, none of these make very good garden plots. Isn't there any good dirt around?
As a matter of fact, not part of the Bible verse, Jesus said, some seed fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold.
Finally, good soil, and finally the seeds can grow. I get it. We are called to be the good soil. What are we called to be?
Good soil.
God sows the seeds of the kingdom in us. People are the dirt. Some of us are like the hard-packed soil of the past, where the birds ate the seeds. We are rigid and dry, and nothing can grow in us. Some of us are like the rocky soil. Pay attention to me, people in the room. Some of us are like the rocky soil. Things start, you're not gonna know what's happening later if you're not listening now. Some of us are like rocky soil. Things start growing, but then run into all our rules and opinions and they just wither away. Some of us are like the thorn patch, where we can't make room for new people or new ideas, so the new growth just gets choked out. But some of us are like the good soil, rich and abundant, so the seeds can grow. All we have to do is be the good soil. And of course, figure out who the bad soil is and tell them how to fix themselves. Or at least stay away from them, right?
As Jesus said this, he called out, "If you have ears to hear, then hear."
Heard, Jesus. Amen. So, children of all ages, I'm just going to turn this up.
Yeah.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. You know, I'm not a gardener. I don't grow vegetables or flowers or even houseplants. Just ask Sarah Lynn. This is the most successful plant I've ever cared for. It is plastic. But even though I can't grow anything, I know I am planting seeds all the time. The words that I say, the things that I do, the way that I treat people, those are all seeds that I sow everywhere I go. Not real seeds, of course, but little seed-like things that grow into feelings and ideas and relationships. You are planting those seeds all the time, too. Our kind words grow into feelings that can feed people as much as the most perfect tomato. Our hurtful actions can cause more pain than the worst case of poison ivy. Now that can feel like a lot of pressure, knowing we plant so many seeds. But thankfully, we don't do this job alone. We help each other, sowing seeds that bring beauty into the world. And God helps us fix it when we sow seeds that bring pain. So this week, let's help each other plant a whole field full of love. Amen. Reading is from Reverend Cameron Trimble, a prayer she titled, For What Grows in Sacred Ground. Holy One who holds what we cannot, teach us to trust what doesn't move in straight lines. When our minds rush to fix, help our hearts remember how to feel. When fear tempts us to organize our way to safety, return us to the deeper knowing that relationship is what saves us. Plant in us a faith that grows roots, not reach. Shape in us a rhythm of care, not conquest. And let what grows from this soil be enough. Amen. Imagine that Jesus, one Sunday morning, decided to go to Sunday school. Not here, no place we know. Jesus was so excited to go to Sunday school because he heard that there would be crafts and stories and singing and snack. Snack is Jesus's favorite. To make it even better, when Jesus got there, he found out they would be talking about the parable of the sower. My favorite parable, Jesus said. The Sunday school teacher started teaching about the parable, and he said pretty much what Miss Pam and I just did. The sower is sowing seeds in different kinds of soil, and things go better or worse depending on what the soil is like. And just like me, the teacher says, we are the soil. What did the teacher say? We are the soil. So far, so good, thinks Jesus. We are the soil. We help God's kingdom grow or not depending on what kind of soil we are. The teacher says that some of us are like soil that is so hard, so resistant, that the seeds of God's kingdom can't grow in us, especially people from that other church down the street. That made Jesus sit up a little bit. The teacher says some of us are like soil that is so rocky, so distracted by the things of the world, that the seeds of God's kingdom can't put down roots. Especially people who don't go to church every Sunday. Jesus, who rarely goes to church, almost gasped. The teacher says that some of us are like soil full of thorn bushes, so judgy and prickly that the seeds of God's kingdom get choked right out, especially the vice chair of the deacons. Jesus, who knew what went on at deacon meetings, knew the teacher kind of had a point, but still wasn't happy with where this was going. We don't have deacons at FCC Natick, so that was safe. But some of us, the teacher said, our wonderful, rich, good soil, and the seeds of God's kingdom just flourish and grow. Some of us are wonderful, rich, good soil, like Sunday school teachers. Jesus tried not to giggle. So just work hard, the teacher said, and be good soil and make God happy. Well, that little lesson made Jesus lose his mind. The Sunday school teacher was getting it all wrong, just like I was getting it wrong when Pam was reading. Jesus tried to stay calm and just took a deep breath, stood up and said, "That is not what it means at all." Jesus said the parable of the sower is not a chance to judge each other, who is good soil and who is bad. The parable could mean a lot of different things, Jesus said, but definitely not that. It would be better, Jesus said, if we use the parable to understand each other. The teacher looked like he was maybe going to correct Jesus, but Jesus just raised his hand and the teacher stopped. Like the hard-packed dirt on the path, Jesus said, well, you'd be hard-packed too if people kept walking all over you. Some of God's children, Jesus said, have been stepped on their whole lives. Not literally, maybe, but again and again, they've been told to be quiet, step aside, know their place. After you keep getting stepped on for a while, you get pretty pressed down, and it's hard for something new to grow. How about the rocky soil? The soil didn't put the rocks in there, just like God's children haven't asked for lives full of obstacles, one after another. When you live with the rock of poverty, the rock of racism, the rock of hunger, it's hard to make room for roots to stretch out. And the soil with thorn bushes taking over. The soil didn't plant the thorn bushes itself. God's children don't have complete control over the plants they bear. Between parents and biology and the resources of our very neighborhoods, all kinds of invasive species can grow in our soil. At this point, the Sunday school teacher looked a little purple, and the kids in the class thought this was the best Sunday school ever. Jesus told the Sunday school teacher to stop judging all the soil and certainly stop teaching kids to judge the soil. I was thinking that would be a good point for an amen. Maybe instead see the gifts of the soil, the birds that get fed by the seed on the path, the rocks that provide drainage so the soil isn't too wet, the thorn bushes that provide shelter for so many of Earth's creatures. After all, the parable is supposed to be good news about what the world will be like when it is a place of justice, peace, and compassion. If God the sower decides to throw seeds around willy-nilly, maybe God's kingdom calls us to throw love around willy-nilly too. Then Jesus suggested to the teacher that it might be a good time for snack. After that, Jesus had to take a break from Sunday school for a while. He decided to go hang out at the community garden on Sunday mornings instead. He noticed the people there didn't just give up when something wasn't growing in the soil of their little plot. They added compost or limestone or rotated crops, playing with the dirt to see what it could do rather than judging it as bad soil. And they helped each other in the same way, sharing ideas and encouragement and gardening tools. Jesus was gonna tell them about his favorite parable, but he realized he didn't need to because it had come to life, a glimpse of God's kingdom in the garden. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Does this mean she finished her
master's?
So she has finished her master's, because there was a sneaking suspicion that he was waiting to propose until after she'd finished all of her work. So there's also the joy that she has finished her master's and that her husband-to-be was so sensitive about when she would have space in her brain to celebrate. Congratulations, moms. Mm. Other joys this morning. Sarah Lynn. Oh, it is Stephanie's birthday. We're so happy that Stephanie is spending her birthday morning with us. Happy birthday, Stephanie. Lane, do you have any joys over there?
It's a joy sending prayers to all students, teachers, and parents who start school.
I got that one.
You got that one? And you got Stephanie's?
Yeah,
okay.
I thought I'd moved those. Sorry.
You're still here.
I failed.
Sorry. Right.
Okay, let's see if I get them and if we come back to any.
That's it.
Oh, you yell at me. Bill. Really, this is wonderful. So Bill was able to spend time with his sister Peg and her husband. Peg, we've been praying for as she's living with cognitive decline and other health issues. So extended family was all able to be together. Her children, grandchildren, you folks were there. That's a joy. Thanks, Bill. Some of the joys that came in this week from Dave are he is sending prayers to all the students, teachers, and parents who are starting school this week. Ned is heading off to kindergarten at Brown. So Dave writes, even though it's the end of an era, it's the start of a brand new chapter, and it's only just the beginning. And I know we have a number of FCC Natick young people going to first grade together, so we're pretty excited about that too. Thinking of everybody in the week ahead. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Linda.
One of our praying hearts, Beth O, a few weeks ago had asked for our prayers for her brother-in-law, Joe, who had been diagnosed with melanoma. She is now requesting prayers as he is waiting to start immunotherapy to treat some lesions on the brain. She said that may be cancerous, and she asked to please send light, prayers, and blessings for Joe.
So a few weeks ago, we prayed for Beth O's brother, Joe, who had been diagnosed with melanoma. Brother-in-law. Beth's brother, God knows. Beth's brother-in-law, Joe, who had been diagnosed with melanoma. He's about to start immunotherapy specifically for some lesions that have shown up on the brain that could be cancerous. So the request is prayers for light and for blessing, and that is what we offer. Both for Joe and for the extended family. Thanks, Linda. Let me see what I have, and who did I miss? Oh, Lorraine.
Yes. We lost one of our Golden Tone members a week or so ago after open heart surgery. Oh. He didn't make it.
Oh.
If anybody's been to our concert, he was a little rotund guy that sang Rockin' Robin. And we went to the funeral parlor Friday night, and there were about 20 of us from Golden Tones to sing Rockin' Robin to people that were there.
What's his name, Lorraine?
Clarence.
We hold in our prayers all those who know and love Clarence, a well-known member of the musical group Golden Tones, who always sang Rockin' Robin. He was having surgery, open heart surgery, and he did not survive the surgery. But his music lives on. Folks from Golden Tones were at the funeral and they sang Rockin' Robin, and in heaven there was rejoicing. Thanks, Lorraine. We are holding in our prayers Gary and Shannon W. We've been praying for Gary's mom as she was on hospice. Gary's mom died earlier this month, so we are holding them in this time of grief. And we're holding Stephanie, birthday girl Stephanie, in our prayers as she is in the midst of a job search. So prayers for that time of transition and discernment as well. Did I miss any, Lane? Okay. So next Friday, this coming Friday, will be the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. That, of course, is the powerful storm that devastated communities in Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana, especially New Orleans. The city of New Orleans has asked faith communities to pray for and with those affected by the storm today, the Sunday before the anniversary. And so our pastoral prayer this morning comes from resources created by the emotional and spiritual care team of the UCC for that purpose. Let us pray. God of many names and many faces, God of love and acceptance, God of struggle and rebirth, receive our thanks for being able to gather together from across the nation, yet be in one spirit and heart as we remember those who were and continue to be affected by Hurricane Katrina. As we pause today to recognize the 20th anniversary of this disaster, we acknowledge the trauma and devastation that was experienced throughout the Gulf Coast region. We remember the 1,833 lives lost and the tens of thousands who were also injured in body, mind, and soul, as many were unable to evacuate. Communities were destroyed and only some were rebuilt. We witnessed the realities of racism and classism in response to this storm and recognize that our society still wrestles with these challenges today. The secondary trauma of this disaster was felt throughout the nation and the world. And so, God, as we commemorate this day, we also lift up the ongoing effects of this tragedy from both natural and human-influenced causes that continue to ripple out into the future. Yet our faith does not keep us in grief, but calls us to be a resurrection people. Death will not have the final word. So we lift up and give thanks for those who came to lend a hand and bring hope to a place where the destruction was beyond words. Through the waves of pain and sadness, people across the globe brought hope. And so with grateful and stretched hearts, we give thanks to you, God of many names, for the blessings that have reshaped these communities in the aftermath of the storm and through the efforts of rebuilding and revisioning that were supported by so many. We look forward as hope blooms into new co-creations through our embodied love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Shaker hymn says, love is flowing like a river, flowing out from you and me, flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free. May God's love flow through us out into the desert places of this world. That love flows in our words, in our actions, and in the gifts we share. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may God's love flow now. Thank you. love, bless these gifts, and especially those who will be touched by them, that they might feel your love and ours. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 534, O God of Earth and Altar. Be seated. Beloved, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the garden soil to you, deep peace of the sparkling sand to you, deep peace of the muddy path to you, deep peace of the God of dirt to you. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.